Hi, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, was a humble and devoted pastor, teacher, and writer who desired to minister to the lonely and elderly and nurture the saved in their daily walk through our broadcasts. We're so grateful to be able to continue broadcasting with your support. A viewer in Oregon wrote in and said, "Thank you so much for your Sunday worship time. It has been so good for me. I'm not getting to church for worship, and this gives me every Sunday to worship and have daily prayer. I have been watching for a few weeks, and it is now a Sunday hour for me. I make sure the TV is on, and I'm seated to spend time with the Lord. Today, Dad's message titled, The Jericho Road, addresses the most important question in life, where will I spend eternity? Have your Bibles ready for today's message. God bless you as you listen.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we just want to thank you for opening your doors for us and letting us come and join with you. And really, we're gathering, all of us are gathering around the throne of grace today, and we're all together, might be all over the world, and we're on one central place. We're at the feet of Jesus. And we're opening as we look into Psalm 102, verses 25 to 28. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your greatness and your mightiness, and that there is only one God, and that that one God loves us and cares for us, and that you're with us right now by your Spirit. So bless your name, and Lord, to those who don't know you, help them to come to Jesus today. And to those who are on beds of sickness or shut in, bless and comfort them, and help us all together to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And Barb's singing for us this morning today. She's going to sing Master of the Sea, and God bless you, Barb.
One night upon the sea, a ship was tossing to and fro. Breakers dashed on every hand, angry winds around it blow. All on board were filled with fright as the mighty billows rolled. Then they called upon the and waves control. When he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still, what man is this? They all did say, the storms of life may rage, mighty billows round you roll, then he can calm life's troubled sea. Oh, as he did in days of old, and as upon life's sea you sail, Why don't you trust in Him who's never failed? I'm so glad He sails with me. Oh, He's still the master of the sea. When He reaches out His hand, billows cease at His command. Winds and waves obey His will. When He says to them, be still, what man is this, they all did say, that the winds and sea obey. He's the one who sails with me. Oh, He's still the master of the sea. He's the one who sails with me. Master of the sea.
Well, thank you, Barb, and we appreciate your ministry of music. Always is a blessing. And we also want to thank all of you who have written to us. Thank you for the letters. We get so many nice letters, and we read every one that we get. And then I share some of them with you. Can't share them all, but I have some that I want to share. And so let's look at some of them today. The first one is from a prison in Cranston, Rhode Island. And this is a prisoner that has accepted the Lord Jesus and is living for the Lord. And this is what he writes. I also wanted to let you know I'm starting to finally come out of my shell and witness to people about the Lord Jesus. I've been encouraging people here to attend church services, and I recently received a pen pal request from somebody in Australia, of all places, and I wrote him back asking if he knew Jesus Christ and if he has accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. I look forward to hearing back from him. Friend, that's exactly what every believer ought to be doing. We ought to be telling people about Jesus Christ and urging them to open their heart and accept Jesus Christ, because He is the only way to heaven. Now, I know that there's a lot of different ideas, and they say there's a lot of roads that lead to heaven, but you know what Jesus said? He says there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. You have to have Jesus. We all ought to be doing that, talking about that. Now, here's a letter from Abarsky, Montana. I know I mispronounced it, so you write and give me the right pronunciation. Then when you write, you can send a contribution, see, and then that'll work really nice. And so this one writes and says, we'd like to receive your offer of the book concerning suicide since one of our grandsons committed this act. The family has had a hard time recovering. Your work may be helpful, and thank you for addressing this subject. And so these people are writing because we have a booklet that we just published, and it's called Can a Christian Who Commits Suicide Go to Heaven? And the answer is yes, he can. And we have 8 reasons from the Bible, Scripture. We're not giving what somebody thought. We're saying what God says. And if you accepted Jesus Christ and if you commit suicide, you'll be saved. And so you can write to us, and I'm going to give you the address right now so you can take it down. It's the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember. It's box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write to us, and we send these out on a free will offering basis. It's a little 10-page booklet, and it'll give you blessing, and it'll give you hope if you know Jesus. And so we hope that you'll write. Here's one from Sebring, Florida. I'm 93, and I've been so discouraged due to unsolvable problems of every kind. Then I found your program on TV, and from your messages about Jesus and faith, I've put aside my pity party and directed my thoughts to trusting the Lord and the Lord again and walking with him again. And so this is a wonderful thing. The secret is Jesus. And if you have troubles and trials and you have heartaches and you're worried and you're fretting, get to Jesus, see? And Jesus will help you. And we're told us, for instance, in Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So you just accept Jesus and then just trust him. Lean on him. He can take care of things. And just don't get your liver in a quiver. Just trust Jesus and lean on him. Well, here's one from good old South Dakota, Howard, South Dakota. We don't get out to church services anymore. We're thankful and pleased that God feeds us such sumptuous spiritual food through the Christian worship hour, prayerfully with love and appreciation through Christ. And so that's the reason we got this wonderful food is because we're preaching the Bible. It is nothing that we did or anything we wrote or fixed up. It's that we're preaching the Bible. And that's where the strength is. That's where the courage is. And Jesus says, my word will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. So just trust take the word of God. Trust the wonderful Jesus. Here's a letter, Washington, D.C. I enjoy your program. I came to see my son in his country. I'm from Ethiopia. And I also appreciate your prayer for the whole world, and God bless you. And so this is wonderful, visiting from Ethiopia. And I'm going to tell you, when you get back to Ethiopia, you can get us there because we're on television and shortwave radio all over the world, and you can get us in Ethiopia. So wouldn't that be nice if you got to know us here and then went back to Ethiopia and worshiped with us there? We would really like that. Here is Magnolia, Minnesota. Now listen to this letter. This man writes and he says, my wife and I can no longer attend church, so we watch the Christian worship hour. Now listen how they watch it. I watch it here in Magnolia, Minnesota, where I live, and my wife watches it in the Colonial Manor Nursing Home in Lakefield, Minnesota. We feel like we've been to church with your good Bible preaching, and God bless you. And so we hear from so many people like that. They're in different places of the world, and they worship the same service at the same hour, and they're worshiping together, though they may be miles and miles apart. Isn't that beautiful? And the beautiful part is someday Jesus will come again. He'll take us all to be with himself, and there won't be any miles apart. We'll all be together in heaven, and won't that be something? Now, here's a letter from Andover, Minnesota, and they write, I want to say thank you for your wonderful service. How comforting to know that the Lord is there for us and will not let us wander along. Also, how enlightening to know that once you've accepted the Lord, he will always be with you. I had thought I had to accept the Lord several times because of sin I have committed, but your service has shown that is wrong. You only accept the Lord one time, and then you're his child forever. What wonderful news that was for me to know that God did not turn his back on me. Praise the Lord. Yes, I was a sinner and still have weaknesses and sin again, but ask the Lord for guidance, strength, and forgiveness. Joy to know the Lord is there. Thank you and God, you and God and your service has given me hope and comfort. Now, here's the way it works. When you call on the name of the Lord, you're saved. And Jesus said to Mary and Martha, I give unto them eternal life, and you will never perish. Your life will go on forever and ever. That's spiritual life. But so you only have to ask Jesus once into your life. But then you have to ask him every day for the sins that we commit along the way. But it doesn't have a thing to do with our eternal salvation. That's settled. We're a child of God and that'll never change. But when we fail him, we break fellowship. When we're angry with a brother, we break fellowship with God and we ask for forgiveness. And so every day we ask for our daily sins, but we accept the Lord only once. You can be born again only once. Now, let's see, one more here, Superior, Wisconsin. As a retired United States Air Force officer, I really appreciated hearing you mention the topic of suicide. As you know, we currently lose about 22 former vets per day. Think of that. Whether it is due to the feeling of helplessness, hopelessness, depression, inadequate medical treatment, or most often the immeasurable impact of invisible wounds. Think of that, invisible wounds. And he says, of all the above put together, approximately one ex-vet every hour and 3 minutes decides to end their life. Isn't that sad? And we pray for our veterans. And one of my closest friends died on Iwo Jima. And he's with Jesus now. I'm going to see him again someday. But we owe a great debt to these men and women who fight for our country and who've gone, and many of them have given their lives, and then many of them come back with real problems, terrible problems. We ought to pray for our veterans every day. And so we just want to thank you for all of your letters and cards and letters and the address. We've got to put it on the post it now for you. And you write to us if you'd like to get this booklet on suicide. A Christian commits suicide, will he go to heaven? And then you may have some other questions. And you know, once in a while we get a joke. And for instance, here's a Steve from Gladstone, Missouri. And this is what he writes. He says, it reminds me of a story about an old fellow named Joe. Joe was caught stealing cars, had to appear before the judge. Judge says, Joe, that's the third time you've been caught stealing cars. I'm going to give you 20 years. Joe retorted, but Judge, I'm already 95. The judge says, just do the best you can. I read that and you said, you know, I'm 94, and I'm going to do just the best I can. But I'm going to tell you a little secret. I can't do much unless you pay us and help us with our bills. Now, I've always said we're not going to beg for money. I listened to a program the other night, and they talked 20 minutes on a 30-minute program for money. We never beg for money. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. We have to pay our way like anybody else. And if you want this service to continue, you got to help us financially. And so I pray to Jesus. Ask God, should I help them? Is this some kind of a ministry I should help? And if he says yes, then you say, all right, Lord, how much shall I help them? What do I need to give them? And he'll tell you, and you'll pass out. And then you come back and you say, Lord, are you sure? He said, yeah, I'm sure. Write it out. I don't know what he'll tell you, but I'm going to tell you this. You have to, we have to have your support. And God tells us in the book of James, you have not because you ask not. So I'm telling you, we have to have your help. So you pray about it and do like the Lord leads. If you want to, you can send it on the internet. Anywhere in the world, you can send it on the internet. And you can do it like this. You get ChristianWorshipHour.com. And on there it says donate. You punch that. And that means you're going to give us something. And then it'll say pay pal. And that means pay your pals. We're your pals. And you have to pay us. And we don't put it in our pocket. We use it to buy in radio and television time. And we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they check every penny we get and every penny we spend. We're clean as a hound's tooth. And that's pretty clean, I'm telling you. And one of them bites you, you'll find out how clean they are. And so just make this a matter of prayer. And then one other thing I want to mention is we have a little paper we put out as a little Bible study. It's called The New Song. New Song. And it's a Bible study. And this month in November, we're having thanks because. Why should we give thanks to God? That's a little Bible study, one-page Bible study. We also have the sermon topics, and we have the texts, and we have excerpts from a lot of the letters that we get. You just love it. And, you know, we should really have a subscription rate of about $50 a year, but we're sending it free. So how can we talk about being good-hearted? Boy, we're the best-hearted people in the world. And we're going broke, but we're good-hearted anyway, see? And so you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, 2002. and it's in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I hope that you'll do that because, as I say, we're just totally dependent on you. And all of you that have been so faithful over the years, for 38 years now, thank you, and God bless you. And we'll go as long as the Lord provides. And how does He provide? He provides through you. He provides through God's people. That's the only income we have. We don't have any incorporation or anything like that that's standing behind us, or church or denomination. It's God's people. So God bless you, and thank you for all your help. Now I'm going to have a little prayer. And then after that prayer, then Jan's going to play. And they say, well, how do you have her? Why do you have her play during the offering? Well, that makes it easier for you. Have some beautiful music. Maybe that'll jar a little something out of you. I don't know. But it'll just bless you, see? And then you get blessed and you'll have to do something. So, dear Lord, we just thank you for all of the people who stand by and help us. And, Lord, we know it's because you've done it. And, Lord, when you're done with this ministry, you'll tell them to stop. And the money will stop and we'll stop. And it'll all be history. But until then, we're leaning on you and leaning on God's people. And we thank you for all that's being done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. That's just beautiful. I wish I could play the piano like that. Boy, I wouldn't preach another sermon. I'd just play the piano. But I'm a little bit late for piano lessons. And I know I never would have had it in me anyway, so I'll just stay plugging away preaching. Well, we're reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. And I know some of you have your Bibles. You're all ready, and you worship with us, and you look up the verse. So you look up Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 10, and we're going to start with the 30th verse. And then, of course, every time in our prayers, we pray for a country where the Christians are being persecuted. And so in our prayer this morning, today we're going to pray for Somalia, where the Christians are giving their lives, they're being killed, and the families left behind. God bless them. So let's look at Luke chapter 10. Jesus answering, verse 10, verse 30. Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Which now of these three, Jesus says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said unto the scribe, unto the Pharisee, go and do thou likewise. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this story. Thank you for the parables and the stories that you give us the lessons you give us so that we can understand how we as your followers need to live and how we ought to behave ourselves in a corrupt society, in an anti-Christian society, Lord. And the world has always been that way. And you've told us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We can't have God and money, God and mammon. We have to have, it's black or white, we have you or the world. And so we put the world behind us and walk with you. And so we thank you that he'll teach us how we should live in this world and how we as Christians ought to behave. And Lord, why we think of in our service today, and we're thinking about our dear brothers and sisters in Somalia. And some of them, Lord, have seen their loved ones taken. Most of the time it's the men. And then the widows are left behind. The mothers are left behind, the little children, and the grieving parents and the grieving people. And how terrible an experience it is. And we pray, Lord, we thank you, first of all, for the martyrs that will just not deny you, but rather die than deny Jesus. Oh, what a glorious testimony. And then those that are left behind, Lord, we know you'll provide. We know that you'll help them and help us to think about them and to pray for them and to give to their cause and support them every way we can. Now, Lord, we just want to pray today that you'll use this message, that you'll bring people to yourself, people that don't know you, people that are blinded by sin, people that are out in the world, some of them in terrible sins, and they think it's hopeless, but it's never hopeless with Jesus. He's able to save unto the uttermost of sin and the uttermost of time. And there's no limits. My grace is sufficient for thee. And where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And oh, dear God, we pray that multitudes will come to Jesus. And then we pray for those on beds of sickness and those who are shut in and those that are lonely and those that have lost a loved one, a spouse maybe, or a child, and who just comfort their hearts. And as we bring the message today, may the Holy Spirit minister to each one, wherever they are, all over this world. Every message is tailor-made by your Holy Spirit. We preach the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit applies it to the hearts of the people wherever they are. So have your way, and may you be glorified and honored. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Melissa's going to sing for us. She's going to sing a song, Change My Heart, O God. And while she sings this, you think about your heart. I'll think about my heart. Should it be changed? So God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Change my heart, oh God. May it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Like you. You are the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you.
Thank you, Melissa. God bless you. And that's our prayer. We want our heart to be right with God. And that's where it all starts. It starts from the heart, not the head. We can have all kinds of knowledge, and it doesn't mean a thing. But when that heart is right, and you know what Jesus says in the book of Revelation? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. He wants to come into your heart, into your life. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I'll fellowship with him. I'll live with him. And we'll be together forever. And so while Melissa sings about that heart, is my heart right, dear Lord? Change my heart. Make a heart the way it should be. Maybe there's some unforgiveness in your heart. Maybe there's some sin in your heart. Maybe there's covetousness. Oh, there can be a thousand different things. Maybe you've never, ever accepted Jesus, and today you're going to do that. And while I'm preaching, while we're bringing this message, you can be saying, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll turn from my sin. You see, Jesus taught repentance. He told the woman who had been taken in adultery and deep sin, go and sin no more. That means that she never, ever commit a sin, but he means change your lifestyle. Don't be in that business anymore. And so if there's in your something in your heart, in your life, and it's the wrong business, if it is, and God is convicting of you, set it aside and just give your life to Jesus, and he'll guide and direct you, and you'll find peace. And then you thank Jesus for coming into your heart, and then you tell somebody. He's not looking for people in the secret service. He wants people to sound out for Jesus. And so just do that, and you'll be happy. You'll find joy. Well, we want to think about this story. This is a wonderful story. I read it. I remember reading about it in Sunday school as a little kid. And I just love it. And so this is a story. Jesus is dealing with a Pharisee. And this Pharisee is a lawyer. And that means that a lawyer in those days meant that it was somebody that majored in the Old Testament books of Moses. They studied the Old Testament. That's what their law was, because that's what they lived by. And so they would be really good in the Old Testament scriptures. You might say they had a Doctor of Divinity degree, and they knew the Bible. They knew it good and well. And so Jesus is this lawyer puts a question to Jesus, and he says, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 25. That's a good question to ask, and you ought to ask it, and everybody ought to ask it. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? You better ask that, because if you don't have eternal life, you have eternal death, and that's hell. And so Jesus, we know now how we need to receive Jesus, see, but the Pharisee didn't know that. So he says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus asked him a question. Jesus did that a lot. Instead of answering, he asked him a question, make him think. And so Jesus says, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And the Pharisee answers him, because, see, he knows that Old Testament. The Pharisee answers him in the 27th verse, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus says to the Pharisee, you have answered correctly. You're right. And then the lawyer puts it to Jesus, and he says, but he desiring to justify himself, this Pharisee, he wants to feel good in himself, see? And so he says unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Luke says, he asked this to justify himself. That is, there were some people the Pharisees did not love. They didn't like. There were some who the Pharisees actually hated. And they one people they hated was the Samaritans. The Pharisees hated the Samaritans. And because the Samaritan wasn't a Jew or a Gentile, he was half Jew, half Gentile. So the Gentiles didn't want him and the Jews didn't want him. They hated him and they hated these poor Samaritans. And so then Jesus follows and he goes and he says, if the Samaritan was his neighbor, then, he's thinking now, if the Samaritan is my neighbor, then I got big troubles because I don't love my neighbor. And if I don't love my neighbor, I won't have eternal life. So he's getting in pretty deep. And so he asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? If I have to love my neighbor as myself, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered him with a story in what we call the Good Samaritan. And you know the story, he says. He told him an actual story of what happened. He tells a story to answer this question to this man, who is my neighbor? There was a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho, Jesus said. Now that was the shortest route to Jericho. He could have gone another route, but it would have been longer. So he went the shortest route. But the short route went through a deep ravine and had a lot of caves and a lot of places to hide and rocks and all. And the thieves and the robbers would hang in there. And when a man came through alone, they'd jump on him, beat him half to death, and take his money and leave him there to die. That's exactly what happened to this man, see? And Wiersbe says he was a traveling Jew. So this little Jewish man, he's going through there, and then he was robbed, he was beaten, and he was left to die. And then in the story, it wasn't very long, and a priest came by. See, they're going from Jerusalem to Jericho and then Jericho to Jerusalem. And they lived in Jericho and they go up to Jerusalem to serve in the temple. So the priest is going by. And when he saw this man beaten and about to die, the priest went way over on the other side and went on up. There's a man came and he's called a Levite. And when he approached the victim, he walked over and he took a look at him. And then he says, oh my goodness, he's in bad shape. And then he just took off going and went his way. And then Jesus says, here comes a Samaritan. And the man that there's the one that the Jews hate, the Gentiles hate. And he comes along and he went over to where the man lay and he sees that he robbed and he's beaten. He lifted him up. He bound up his wounds. He poured in oil to soothe. He put the man on his own beast. He walked and let the beast carry this man. He took him to an inn, the hotel, probably the Waldorf Astoria, something like that. And he paid for room and board, and he stayed up with the man all night to be sure that he was all right. And in the morning, he gave 2 denarii to this man, and that's 2 days' wages. And he says, take care of this man, and when I come back through, if you spend extra, I'll pay you whatever it is. That's what the Samaritan is telling about this Jew. And here's this Jewish Pharisee. He's listening in, and boy, he's about to choke to death. And so he grabbed the Pharisee because it was not a Jew helping a Samaritan. It was a Samaritan helping a Jew. And the Pharisee was really hung up. And then before you can say Jack Sprat, Jesus answered the Pharisee. He says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer can't help but say, he says, well, the one that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said unto him, you go and do likewise. Likewise, you do the same thing. You go and help the Samaritans that you hate so much, is what he's saying. Well, I don't know what the Pharisee did, but I want you to look at this story and take some lessons from it, because this story tells us there are three kinds of people in this world. And these are the three kinds. They had them then, and they have them now. They have, first of all, the robbers. The robbers' philosophy was, what's yours is mine, and I'll take it. And then we have the priest and the Levite, and their philosophy was, what's mine is mine, and I'll keep it. And then we come to the Good Samaritan. His philosophy is, what's mine is yours, and we'll share it. Now let's look at these. The robber's philosophy, what's yours is mine, and I'll take it. Well, they are the plunderers. They're the people that like to hide in the dark and kill people and rob people and do evil things to them. And we have them then, and we have them now. They're all over the place. Let me just give you one class of people that does this very thing, the old gossip. The gossip has robbed countless numbers of innocent people. The Apostle James puts it like this in James 3, verse 6. He says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among the members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature." And this is what he says, "and is set on fire of hell." The old gossip, that's what the gossip does. They hide behind the bushes. They talk over the telephone and they tell stories about people. And I want to say before I go any farther, it isn't always the women that's doing it. Men are just as bad and maybe just as worse. I've been in the business 71 years. Some of the worst old gossips I've ever seen have been men. So it's men and women, not just the women. And I have seen these people, these old gossips, and they lie by the wayside, and some victim comes by, and so then they get to work, and they talk about this person, and their reputations are destroyed by the gossip. Homes are broken up. Marriages are torn apart. Friendships are broken and shattered. Characters are assassinated. Well, set on fire of hell is what James says. Well, I guess so. It's exactly what it is. Just all kinds of things. Robbing people while you hide in the bushes. We used to call them bushwhackers. They hide in the bushes and shoot people in the back. That's what the gossip is. There was a man, R.G. Letourneau, and I got to meet this man. He's a great man, and he was the greatest obstacle mover in history. He built earth-moving machines, huge machines to move dirt. During World War One, during World War II, he produced 70% of all the Army's earth-moving machinery, and they used it to build airports on different lands on Iwo Jima and places. Letourneau made those things. He was a multimillionaire. He gave 90% of everything he got to the Lord. He says his God was his chairman of his board. He gave 90% to God. He kept 10% for himself. And I have people say, "Oh, if I had that much money, I'd do that too." I said, "Well, you give 10% now?" "No." "Well, then you wouldn't have. If you got 90%, you wouldn't give it. If you don't do it right now, you wouldn't do it then. Probably even more so." But anyway, he had a great sense of humor, this Letourneau. And one of the great giant scrapers, he called Mr. G. Mr. G. And one day somebody asked what the G stood for. And this is what Letourneau said. He says, "The G stands for gossip, because like a tail bearer, this machine moves a lot of dirt and moves it fast." He was right. The gossip moves a lot of dirt and moves it fast. Lord have mercy. And as I look back over my ministry, I can see some old gossips that brought great sorrow and harm in the church and among families and other people. And I'm going to tell you something else as a pastor. No, I'm not in the church anymore. I'm just on the radio and television. And a pastor in that church, I'd rather have an old drunk sit in that pew rather than an old gossip. Because all an old drunk will do, he'll just be a good example to the young people what not to be. But the gossip will be there causing just a regular hell's fire among people. That's their thieves. And the gossip is so vicious. If vicious is because they don't fear God and they don't fear man. They don't fear anybody. They just do all of the evil they can possibly do. And so that was the philosophy of the robbers. It is, what's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. Well, then we come to the priests and the Levites, and their theory is, their philosophy is, what's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. These men have a philosophy of life that shows that they're selfish. And their philosophy of life, they keep everything to themselves, and if I got it, you're not going to get it, not one sniff of it. They show no compassion, even to the people that are dying. And they're going to keep what they have even though their neighbor is perishing. They're still not going to help him. Even though their soul is lost, they have no compassion. They're as cold as a snake. And they live for themselves. So the priest and the Levi, they pass by. They both shirked from helping this poor man. In some ways, the priest and the Levi, in some ways the Levi was better, and in some ways he was worse. He was better than the priest. In some way he was worse than the priest. And for instance, he was better because at least he went over and he looked at the man. priest didn't even do that. But he was worse than the priest because he strangled any love he had or any compassion. He strangled it and he killed it, and he wouldn't help that man. And you know what it says in the book of James, in the book of James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you see something you should do and God lays it on your heart and something to help somebody or witness or something and you don't do it, it is a sin. You know, it's not just the things we do that's sinful. The things we don't do can be sinful if we don't follow through and do what we should do. Sorry to say, I've done that. There's been times when I should have helped somebody and done something for somebody, and I didn't do it, and I passed it by, and it was a sin, an awful sin. The priest and the Levi sinned before God because they left the man out there to die on the road to Jericho when they knew that they should have helped him and done something. Have you ever heard the story of the Black Sox scandal of 1919? Well, the Black Sox was a baseball team. Eight members of the Chicago White Sox baseball team were accused of taking bribes for gambling and exchanging, incidentally, intentionally losing the World Series. In other words, they said that the whole team had conspired together to throw to lose the game so that they could win a bet. That was the story. They were never convicted in the law of order about that. But they were so sure that the baseball society and those in authority ruled on them, and they had one of the players, Buck Weaver. He said that he played to win. And when you looked at it and you remembered, he did play the best he could to win. But he, when they put in the law, they said those men, all eight of them, not a one could ever play ball again as long as they lived. And Buck Weaver was one of those men. And the reason he was the baseball commissioner, his name was Kennesaw Mountain Landis. And he says that the reason that Buck Weaver was punished was not for doing something wrong, but he was punished because he didn't do something right. He should have reported it. And because he didn't report it, he was guilty. That's what God is saying. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. God shows us and we don't do it, we don't act, and it is sin in God's sight. Now let's look at the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan's philosophy. His philosophy was, what's mine is yours and we'll share it. The Samaritan comes upon the pitiful scene. He immediately goes to the man who had been beaten and robbed and left to die. And the Samaritan, as we pointed out, belonged to a race of people that the Jew and the Gentile both hated. And here he is, he's coming to a Jew that's in trouble. And this despised Samaritan here is stopping to help a dying Jew. Powerful. Then Jesus calls attention to all the acts of kindness that the Samaritan did. He talks about that he went to him. He bound up his wounds. He poured oil and wine into them. He placed the man on his own beast. He took him to the inn down the road. He took the 2 pence for expenses, that is equivalent 2 days' wages. He gave instructions to take care of him. He promised to pay when he came back. The wounded man was no rich noble, because the Good Samaritan offered to pay all expenses. He didn't have a penny on him. And the Good Samaritan is going, he's going to help this man. And he says, I'll pay. I'm going to give you 2 denarii, 2 days' wages. And when I come back, I'm a traveling salesman. When I come back, I'll pay it. I'll pay the debt if there's extra. So in many ways, this story pictures all of mankind. It means pictures all of society. The devil has robbed us and stripped us, and it started in the Garden of Eden. But God is, that the devil has come and we are left robbed and beaten and bloody and dying. You know, when I accepted the Lord, I was 10 years old. I remember what that pastor preached that night, that evangelist preached that night. He said, we're all beaten and left by the side of the road, and we have these old dirty clothes on, and we're blind and we're dying. And Jesus comes and he pays for our sins. And if you come to Jesus and give him your life, he'll save you from your sins, and he'll clothe you in the robes of righteousness, and you'll shine in glory as just like Jesus does, because we have Jesus' righteousness. I was 10 years old. I didn't know what a Samaritan was. I didn't know hardly anything, but I knew I wanted Jesus to make me clean. And I prayed and just prayed and said, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll serve you the best I can. And I turned from my sin. What sin did I have 10 years old out on the farm? I couldn't sin if I wanted to. There's nothing to do, really. But I'll serve you the best I can. And then I told my mother what I did. Oh, I'm going to tell you, friends, that's the beautiful picture of this. The Good Samaritan Jesus comes. And this is telling us here today that he'll come and he'll save you from your sins. And you say, oh, my sins are bad. I have people tell me, they said, you don't know all the terrible things I've done. You don't know how bad I've been and how wicked I've been. God will never forgive me. And they'll then one, they all will, a lot of times they'll say, I sinned against light. I knew it was wrong and I did it anyway. Well, who hasn't? Who hasn't? And it doesn't make any difference to God. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And he says in Isaiah, come thou, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'll make you clean. And what does St. John tell us in the first epistle? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. So that's the way we need to live. We need to be helping others and telling others about Jesus. And I'm going to tell you that Samaritan took a great risk, because what they did a lot of times, those thieves, they would put a decoy out there. And one of them would lay out there like they had been beaten. And then when you come to help them, they would pounce on that man and rob him. He was taking a chance. He went out of his way. And when we witness for the Lord, we ought to be able to go to the Lord and we ought to tell people about Jesus Christ. And we ought to witness for the Lord and tell people about the Lord. And don't back off and don't be afraid. And if somebody makes fun of you or somebody talks about you, don't be afraid. Witness to them. And if they get mad at you, fine. I've had them get mad at my preaching. I probably has been more mad than glad. But they get mad and then they turn to the Lord. They see there's a need and they got to have Jesus. So you have to go out of your way. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some of your time. You may have to spend some money to help these people. And when you come to that poor widow and she needs encouragement and she needs a pat on the back and she doesn't have any money and she's got her kids, and we say, well, I'll pray for you. Well, yeah, pray for her and then give her a $20 bill or a $50 bill or write her a check for $100. God bless you. I'll pray for you. That is fine, but it's not enough. And this man, if he's going to serve, he's going to take care of this beaten up Jew. It cost him time. He had to wait. He had to stay up all night with the man so he wouldn't die. He had to give him his bed and he had to sit in some chair. He had to pay Tuesday's wages to this man. And he might have to pay a lot more before it's all done. But he's a man that knows God and he's got his heart right with God and he's helping. And that's what we need to do. And so as we go out from this place, be sure we don't have that philosophy of these thieves who said, well, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. I'm going to skin you one way or another. Or we can be, what's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it to myself. Or you can say, what's mine, I'm going to share it with others. And so we're sharing the gospel with you today, and we want to know, have you accepted Jesus? If you haven't, you ought to pray right now. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll turn from my sins and I'll serve you and follow you. And those of you on beds of sickness and can't get around, we're praying for you. We love you. And you write to us, and we'll send you some literature if we can give you some literature. If you accepted the Lord, or if you have a question or a problem, write to us, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And keep this in mind, too. You can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. We need your help. We need your prayers. We need your support. We need your financial gift if we're going to carry on. So it's up to you. It's in balls in your court. I'm going to pray for you now. And then we're going to see you next week, Lord willing. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you like the Good Samaritan. He left heaven in all of its glory. He came down and was made among us, and he suffered, and he was beaten, and he was crucified for us. He didn't just bind up our wounds and come and say he was sorry. He died for us, was raised the third day. Thank you for Jesus. And oh God, just bless us all over the world. Help us to love you and serve you and to help others and to witness in your name. Help us to be a blessing to other people instead of an aggravation or some kind of a stumbling block. And if there's forgiveness that needs to be made, do that, Lord. But whatever it is, help us to walk with you and follow you. And those, dear Lord, that are shut-ins, those who maybe they're lonely, maybe nobody comes to see them or very few, and they think they're all alone, help them to know that you said you'd never leave us or forsake us, and you are with them and by their side, and you will always be there to the end of the age or until you take them home. Dear Lord, we love you, and we love all of these people that we're ministering to. We thank you that you opened the door for us, and we're thankful we have such a glorious gospel. May we use it to honor Jesus and to help his people, and to help those who are down and out and those who are astray and those who have wandered away. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So glad we could be with you this week. God bless you. We'll be back next week, the Lord willing. And in the meantime, love Jesus, trust Jesus. We love you all. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.